this is Bob Proctor, and welcome to session number 8 from your Lead the Field seminar, How Much Are You Worth? I love the way Earl begins this program. He said, before the atomic age, chemistry professors used to say that a person's worth, from strictly a chemical standpoint, was about $32 on the going market. In recent years, this view has undergone a startling change. Scientists now calculate that if the electronic energy in the hydrogen atoms of your body could be utilized, you could supply all the electrical needs of a large, highly industrialized country for nearly a week. A DuPont scientist said that the atoms of your body contain a potential energy of more than 11 million kilowatt hours per pound. The average person, by this estimate, is worth about $85 billion. Moreover, the electrons in the atoms of your body are not just particles of matter. They are waves of living energy. And these waves ripple out and spread themselves in patterns of light. And as they move, they sing. If you had the proper hearing aid, you could hear a great symphonic concert as these waves play and flow, merging with waves of neighboring atoms. And they not only sing, they shine. If you stand in front of an infrared television camera in a completely dark room, the screen will show you from top to toe as a glistening, radiating, gleaming form. In short, you're a whole lot more than meets the casual eye. Add this to the fact that to try and reproduce your mind mechanically would cost billions of dollars, and you begin to see yourself for what you really are. An amazing, infinitely valuable creature. And not only are you immensely valuable as a human being, you are unlike any other human who ever lived or ever will live. You are unique. You know, after studying the Lead the Field program and working with it worldwide for close to 40 years, I am totally convinced the average individual walking down the street has absolutely no idea of the awesome power that resides within them. You truly can create the world you imagine when you believe it. Your belief about anything was based upon your evaluation, and frequently when you reevaluate something, your belief will change. The more you study this Lead the Field seminar, the more you look at yourself. And as you continually use this program, you'll find yourself constantly reevaluating yourself. Your belief about what you're capable of doing will keep changing, and your results will continually improve. You must understand that everything is energy. Everything. Energy can be neither created nor destroyed. It is in a constant evolution of change. Imagine yourself holding a glass of water. Your hand, the glass, and the water, all are energy. Now, when the glass was sand, it was the same energy, but it was at a different level of vibration. If you were to add heat to the water, you'd no longer call it water. You'd call it steam, but it would still be the same energy. And soon the steam would turn into pure thin air. Again, it would be the same energy. Now, we built a graphic illustration in a previous lesson where we had the lines on a pad or on a page. Just imagine the horizontal lines going across a page. Each one of those lines represent a level of vibration or a frequency. And you'll also remember we pointed out that each frequency was hooked up with the one above and the one below. So if we took and put water at the bottom of the page, then we put steam halfway up the page and air at the top of the page, what we would realize is that the air, the steam, and the water, they're all hooked together. There is no line of demarcation where one stops and the other starts. We must learn to look at the world and everything in it, ourselves included, with an inner eye of understanding. Your physical senses will deceive you. We brought this to your attention in The Miracle of the Mind. We talked about each level of vibration being a frequency and how each frequency was hooked up with the one above and the one below. We pointed out that all levels of vibration are joined together like the colors of a rainbow. Now, let's extend this beautiful truth even further and personalize it. We were given the mental faculties that will enable us to cast a light of understanding on what has been considered deep hidden secrets. The mental faculties were brought to your attention again in the lesson on the miracle of the mind. They are your intellectual factors. We've also mentioned that we are all spiritual beings living in physical bodies and, of course, have been blessed with an intellect. Now, spirit is omnipresent. It's 100% evenly present in all places at all times. And when we go to study ourselves and think of what we're worth, there are only two sources of reference to which we can refer. One is science, the other is theology. For years, it was thought that these two sources were antagonistic. On the contrary, they're related. With one, you study the cause, and the other, you study the effect. Spirit is the basis for everything. We have been blessed with creative faculties. By using these creative faculties, which are resident in our conscious mind, we have the ability to tap in to the non-physical world of which we are a part. We can choose our thoughts, form whatever ideas we choose, because we are free. And by holding the idea in our mind and depositing that idea in our heart, which is what the early Greeks referred to as our subjective mind or our subconscious mind, that idea begins to move into form. In scientific terms, that would be referred to as the transmutation of energy. In theological terms, it would be referred to as prayer. Prayer is the movement that takes place between spirit and form, with and through us. Prayer is also something that few people understand. However, all prayers are answered. That is the law. And I can guarantee you, as sure as it's going to get dark out tonight, the more you review these lessons, the greater will be your understanding. And the results you get in your life are the physical manifestations of your understanding. Now, what I've just described can be referred to as a creative process. Earl Nightingale continued by saying, "Now, what are you selling all this for? All human beings are priceless, but the payments, tangible and intangible, they receive from life vary greatly. The purpose of this message is to help you decide just what you're worth as a human being right now in today's society and what you intend to be worth, say, 1 to 5 years from now. In the last analysis, every person is in reality in business for themselves, in that they are building their own life, regardless of who happens to write their paycheck. So for the purpose of this particular message, I want you to think of yourself as a business, as, let's say, a corporation. You hold the office of president of this corporation, in that you are responsible for its success or failure. You and the members of your family are stockholders in your corporation, and it's your responsibility to see that the value of the stock increases in the years ahead. Your family has evidenced faith in you, and it's your responsibility to prove their faith is justified. This is the job not only of the breadwinner, but of any employed family member. Now, while the operations of a corporation are multitudinous and complex, they can be reduced to 4 basic functions. 1, finance. 2, production. 3, sales. 4, research. Without proper financing, there would be no production. Without production, the company would have nothing to sell. Without sales, it would have to completely stop production. Without research, it would not hope to keep abreast or ahead of our rapidly changing times. Now, slight any of these 4 vital functions, and you have a deformed, a crippled company, and if you slight it long enough, you commit corporate suicide." That's pretty interesting words of Earl's, aren't they? Do you know, a number of years ago, I read the following in a Reader's Digest, and I found it rather interesting. It said, "I am not who I think I am. I am not who you think I am. I am who I think you think I am." That's an interesting concept, isn't it? I am who I think you think I am. I want you to imagine 2 or 3 very close friends of yours. Now, consider with this hypothetical situation, I'm going to ask you to imagine that I have asked any one of these people, who are good friends of yours, to write to me and describe you to me in as much detail as possible. and it's going to be a very candid and truthful description. Some of the issues I'd ask them to address would be your business competency, punctuality, dependability, integrity, your character, what they would estimate your annual income would be, how creative you are, what kind of a friend they think you are, and if you're a family person, what kind of a spouse or a parent you are. Now, here's an exercise for you. With those thoughts in mind, I'm going to ask you to stop the program, get yourself a sheet of paper, and write on the paper what you believe their thoughts would be. What would they say about you? Remember what this said? I am not who I think I am. I am not who you think I am. I am who I think you think I am. Well, what do you think they think of you? Put it on the paper. I'm sure you found that exercise interesting. You might want to do that every now and then. It's a good way of being objective, taking a look at yourself from the outside in. Now let's continue with Earl Nightingale. He said, "We discuss finance, the money part of the whole thing, in another message. For now, let's concentrate on research, production, and sales. They are the head, hands, and legs of a company. We could say that the head handles research, the hands take care of production, and the legs handle sales. Cut off any one of these parts, and you're left with a shocked, staggering organization. How many once large companies and trade names can you think of which became giants, then disappeared entirely from the economic scene? Names which once were world leaders in their field and are now only memories. They failed to keep in balance these three crucial functions. What about research for your personal corporation? Research can be said to exist in two areas, present and future. That is, the research of a company should be devoted to ways and means of improving its present products or services, present production, and present sales. Future research is concerned with ways and means of developing new products and services, new methods of production, and new methods of marketing. But while this research is going on, present production must continue at as high a level as sales warrant. In short, a corporation, your corporation, has two factors to consider, the present and the future. How successful we are in meeting these challenges will determine our present profits and our future growth. Why are all companies concerned with growth, even when they seem to be doing well today? It's because of a law which operates with companies just as it does with human beings. Nothing in the world stands still. Nothing in the entire universe stands still. A law of physics goes, a body in motion tends to remain in motion until acted on by an outside force. A company which is growing has a tendency to continue to grow. Conversely, a company which is going backwards or shrinking has a tendency to continue to go backwards or shrink until acted on by an outside force. All responsible company officers know that unless a company is growing, it's developing the first signs of death. Well, you're the head of your personal corporation, and you should realize that this same law applies to you as well. You know, Earl Nightingale has made us aware of a very important law. Dan Sullivan is the CEO of a very successful organization called the Strategic Coach. I was listening to a recorded message of his one day, and I'd like to share the idea with you as I remember it. Begin by thinking of yourself. You have your past self, your present self, and your future self. Now ask yourself, which of these three is in control of you? If it's your past self, you're going to continue getting the same results year after year. The present self is a little more difficult to deal with. It's a moving target and is constantly changing, or at least should be. Take a look at your future self. What will you be doing in 3 years? Now, answering that question is going to give you a great opportunity to draw on your native intelligence, your life's experience, and your imagination. Effectively employing all three is going to give you a fairly accurate picture of where YOU Corporation will be in 3 years. Now, we're going to make this exercise easy, and as pleasant as we possibly can, I'm going to ask you to separate you as a corporation, that's YOU Corporation, into the four divisions that Earl Nightingale suggested. And then I'm going to ask you to stop this program, get yourself a sheet of paper, and answer these four questions. Where will you be financially in 3 years? What will your net worth be? What will your annual income be? How many MSIs, or multiple sources of income, will you have? Now, when you've finished answering that, then go to the second department that Earl Nightingale was talking about, production. What will your production department look like in 3 years? How will it be operating? What are you going to be producing? When you've got that answered, then sit back and look at the next one, sales. What will your sales volume be in 3 years? How will you be making your sales? Will someone else be selling for you? Where will you be selling? And last of all, what will you be selling? And then we'll come to the last one, research. How much of your time will you be spending on research? What percentage of your revenue will you be plowing back into research that yourself as a corporation? Take the time and answer these questions. Be objective. Use your imagination. Look into the future. Now, hopefully you've had a good time answering those questions. I'm going to ask you to come back now as we listen to Earl Nightingale's point of view. Now, just for a minute, let's take a look at the next 10 years. Before we do, keep this in mind. If anyone had predicted just 10 years ago that we would be living in the kind of world we have today, they would have been ridiculed. This includes everything from our basic industry technology to the luxuries and new products we now take for granted, along with our present average income. We're reaching a point in the expansion of human knowledge where our advance is more than dynamic. It's explosive. Any prediction for the next 10 years is very likely to be far on the ultra-conservative side. But let's take a look at what the experts have to say. According to many recent research studies, the next 10 years are going to offer business and the individual unlimited rewards. In the next 8 to 10 years, the bulk of spending in the highly developed nations, believe it or not, will be for things, products, and services over and above the necessities, which are food, clothing, shelter, transportation, and medical care. Imagine, most of the spending will be for things above and beyond necessities. This will be the first time it has happened in the entire history of the human race. It is estimated that the consumer market will expand 50% and more in the next 8 to 10 years, an astounding increase soaring into the hundreds of billions of dollars. In the next 30 years, alongside every building now in existence, a new building must be built. And what about research and development, which is the future of our economy? Today, more money is being spent for research and development in a single year than was spent during the past 150 years. Think for a moment. What does all this mean to you and your own individual company, the one of which you are president? It means your future is unlimited if you'll see yourself in relation to the present and the future. Earl Nightingale mastered most everything he got involved with. In studying this program decades after he wrote it, you'd have to admit he was a visionary. Lead the Field, such a powerful program, and has such broad appeal. It is prepared in such a way that a student can use it, and yet is appreciated and effectively used by the most erudite executive. Keep in mind, the original Lead the Field program was written and recorded in the early 60s. Today we can look back at his predictions and see how shockingly accurate they were. When I think of the first Lead the Field program I invested in, it was recorded on 7-inch plastic records that I played on a portable battery-operated record player in my car. When I joined the Nightingale Conant organization years later, we began producing it on cassette tapes. However, when we sold the tapes to a person, we had to also sell them a cassette player because hardly anyone owned one. Then I look at our means of communicating this information today, and by comparison, it's pure magic. We can beam the message, bouncing it off a satellite onto a handheld computer on the other side of the globe. Now, what's my point? Just this. Earl Nightingale's directives are as effective today as they were when they were first written. They are timeless because they are based on natural laws. The world we live in is in a constant evolution of change, but the laws never change and cannot be altered. To the best of my ability, I align my life with these teachings and the rewards for doing so that Earl Nightingale promises throughout the program I've received. You will as well. You will enjoy a truly abundant life by making these ideas a part of your way of thinking, a part of your way of life. The most profound directive Earl Nightingale gave us was to act like the person you want to become. You have, at this point, predicted what YOU as a company will be like in 3 years, in all four departments. Now what I'm going to ask you to do is sit down and think. What changes do I have to make to become that person? And then act like that person right now. So you're going to have to use your imagination here. You're going to project yourself into the future. You're already that person doing all the things you suggested. Now, what changes do you have to make in your present personality to be that person? Pause this program for a moment and do this exercise now. All right, now that you've got those changes recorded, you know what to do. Act like the person you want to become. Earl Nightingale continues by saying, "Never before throughout all the centuries of humanity has a person faced as bright a future as yours." Our population isn't just exploding, it's getting a lot smarter. Educational advances during the past 10 years have been remarkable. During the next 10, they'll be amazing. The customer is getting smarter every day. And if we're going to continue to meet their demands and sell them our products, we better get smarter every day too. Because if we don't, they're not going to buy from us. The market of the next 10 years will be characterized by diversity, not uniformity. It will also be dominated by taste, not necessity. There'll be a great increase in the quality as well as the quantity of consumer choices. There are many signs of the rising urge for better things in life. Many millions of adults are currently interested in after-hours study programs, and this number is growing by millions each year. Well, that's just a glance at a few of the things going on around us and what life will be like in 8 to 10 years. Now, each one of us, as president and unquestioned manager of their own corporation, can decide what to do about it. We can either grow with it or go backwards. We can't stand still, even if we'd like to. This gives us an opportunity to stand back and look at ourselves and our futures objectively. As an intelligent stranger might, ask yourself, how much am I worth right now, today, as a corporation? What is my value today to myself, my family, and my company? If I were an outside investor as a stranger, would I invest in this corporation? A company growing at the rate of 10% a year will double in size in about 8 years. What attention are you giving to the production of your personal corporation? Can you grow and improve as a person at least 10% a year? Of course you can. In fact, if we go along with experts' estimates, a person can increase their effectiveness anywhere from 50 to 100% and more within 30 days. Our files are filled with reports from people who exceeded their previous performance to an almost unbelievable extent. People in management, in production, who multiplied their effectiveness many times. Student who moved from failing grades to straight A's and the dean's list. People in sales who found they could, through the proper management of their abilities, minds, and time, sell as much of their company's products in a single month as they previously sold in an entire year. Think what this means. It means being 12 times as effective as a human being. And getting back to the law of cause and effect, it means putting out 12 times as much service, which must and will guarantee our receiving eventually 12 times the reward we formerly knew. 12 times the reward. Remember, please, if we do twice as much, we have to receive twice as much, and nothing on earth can keep it from us. And the same thing applies if we triple our effectiveness. Now, you and I know this, everyone should know it, but remember that fully 95% of the people do not know this. Think of the advantage this gives to us. It isn't that we want to take advantage of anyone, and we're not, but it dramatically demonstrates the truth of the saying, knowledge is power. I want you to become aware of how this new information you've been studying has caused your perception of yourself and your worth to be greatly improved. I want you to take a few moments right now, consciously and deliberately, let the image of this new person you've evolved into being flow freely onto the screen of your mind. And when the picture is clear, pause and begin to paint your new image with words. Take a sheet of paper and describe this new you that is forming on the screen of your mind. Take the time and do that right now. Begin by writing, I am so happy and grateful now that, and describe the new picture of yourself. Now, rather than leave that new description of yourself on paper, I'm going to ask you to integrate it with your behavior. And follow what Earl's saying here, because he puts it best. He said, tomorrow is a brand new day, the great equalizer, no more, no less time than anyone else on earth can have to work with. Right now, begin to think of ways in which you can begin to increase your effectiveness, raise your production, knowing that by doing so, you're automatically presetting your rewards. Each day that comes to you, beginning with tomorrow, offers you a clean, brand new page on which to write the story of your life. Forget the past. It's gone. Don't concern yourself with the opportunities you may have missed in the past. This is true of everyone. But reach out and take each new day as it comes and ask yourself, how can I best use this day? You know, we're going to run out of them eventually. If we waste an hour of productive time every day, it adds up to about 250 hours a year that our corporation, our plant, is shut down. We can earn nothing with the doors closed. What is your time worth an hour? Multiply this by 250, and you can see what you're throwing away. Now, whether your employer pays for this wasted hour or not is unimportant. Life will not pay for it. Learn to enjoy every minute of your life. Be happy now. Don't wait for something outside of yourself to make you happy in the future. Think how really precious is the time you have to spend, whether it's at your work or with your family. Every minute should be enjoyed, savored. A human life is really nothing more than a collection of minutes, hours, and days. They are the building materials, and it's left strictly up to us to determine the kind and size of structure we build. You see, a person has a tremendous advantage over even the largest corporation. Think of any large corporation. Can it double its production in a single day? No. Can it double its sales in a single day? No. It would like to, but its growth must be a gradual, steady thing because of the interconnecting complexities of operating so large an organization. Yet a person can double, triple, quadruple their effectiveness in a month or less. It's like comparing the movement of a single scout to the movement of a great army. How have you been handling the three vital functions of your business, research, production, and sales? How much time and effort are you giving to research? The study of your work, your career. Can this be improved? What about production? Is there a way in which you can vastly improve the way in which you conduct your work? And sales, how can that be improved? Sales is more than selling a product or service. It's the way in which we sell ourselves to everyone with whom we come in contact. It's the way we get along with our associates, our spouses, our children, and our neighbors. And if our business happens to be selling, how can we see more people every day? Or improve the effectiveness of every part of our contact? One extra call a day comes to 250 calls a year. How many additional sales could we make with 250 additional contacts. In 5 years, that comes to 1,250 calls we would not otherwise have made. It's the difference between being average or above average, good or great. That's powerful information that Earl's giving us here. Robert Russell is one of my favorite authors. He wrote a wonderful book, God Works Through Faith. He said there's no secret to becoming great at anything. All that is required is for you to do little things in a great way every day. You could most certainly multiply your effectiveness overnight merely by making a few decisions. And understand this increase in effectiveness can be accomplished with less effort and less work. The old idea of work harder, try harder were rules for the old economy. There is no room for them in our new economy. Mark Victor Hansen is a good friend, and he and I are business partners. In a telephone conversation with him, Mark mentioned he takes 1 week out of every month for holidays. He said he has been doing this for the past 3 years, and the success at his numerous business ventures reflect it. He explained each time he comes back from his frequent vacations, he's invigorated and has numerous breakthrough ideas, which he acts on immediately. Shortly after I got off the phone with Mark, Brian Biro phoned me. Brian's a successful individual, a great public speaker, author, and corporate consultant. However, before he ventured into the business world, he was one of America's top swimming coaches. I was telling him about Mark's concept for renewal. Brian then shared something very interesting with me. He explained when a swimmer is bringing their arm down through the water, that is referred to as a resistance stroke. When they take their hand out of the water, bring their arm back over, getting ready to go back into the water, he called that a recovery stroke. Then he explained that it didn't matter how strong a swimmer's resistance stroke was, if they didn't have a good recovery stroke, they would never make it in competitive swimming. An effective recovery is something we all require frequently. Earl said, taking this new active approach to life brings peace to our mind, absolute security to our future, great new stature as human beings. In this way, we can work toward reaching full maturity. With this attitude toward life, we need never for a moment concern ourselves with its outcome. It will begin to become successful tomorrow, and it will pour abundance upon us for the rest of our years. Well, you've got to admit, this is a powerful lesson, one you want to review time and time again. It is without question one of my favorites. It has not only helped me become better acquainted with my true self, it has turned me into a real friend of myself and made me many times more effective in my chosen calling. I would expect by now the 1 hour that you have selected for your own research and development is gaining strength and will soon be a new part of your chosen paradigm. Focusing on the benefits that we gain from forming new habits always provides motivation that's necessary. In closing this lesson, I'm going to ask you to take a moment and write out the benefits that are coming to you from the new habits you're forming from this Lead the Field seminar. This is Bob Proctor. Thank you.